How's it going, man? Which
Hold
means, is
on.
this that the home studio?
Home studio. So I'm still in the like moving in, unpacking stage, you know, where it's like in the middle of everything.
Yeah.
So I'm just sitting in front of the fireplace, the background thing.
Nice. How are things going? You settling in?
You know, the settling in's taking a lot longer than I thought. I didn't realize how hard it is to move into, because usually when you move, you're like moving into an empty place. You know, a space that like you have room and stuff. I'm moving into like my childhood home. My dad lives here. So I'm moving into an already kind of full house.
Yeah.
Not, it's not like a full house, but it's like I have stuff everywhere. So if I'm gonna bring more in, I gotta throw stuff away and move it out. And now I'm
Yeah.
like, am I gonna wear that shirt again? Probably not, but it's from, I don't know, you know. Anyway,
That's
how you
cool,
been,
man.
man? What's going on?
Not much, man. It's kind of like I know we've been trying to make this happen for a while, but yeah, life's just kind of going that quick.
Life's been, wow, when did we meet? We met, it was at an ASDA annual session, right? Was that Pittsburgh or was that the year after? Was that Pittsburgh?
It's all a blur, but yeah, it's one of those ASDA. It was one of those ASDA events for sure. Maybe National Leadership Conference, something like that.
Or maybe that, actually, I don't know if I went, oh no, I went to that one year. It might have been one of those two. Good. So what's going on now? Where are you living now? What's your day today? Where are you right now? What state?
I'm in Atlanta, Georgia.
Yes. And I know. I just, you know, just to set the scene for listeners. And
Oh yeah. So I'm in Atlanta, Georgia right now. I moved up here. It's my second or third year here. Kate came. So I graduated 2020 from UF, Go Gators, and went straight to the Air Force. Did a 1 year AGD with them. That's kind of where I like developed my. I had really good attendings there. Great oral surgery attending and periodontal. I mean, all of them were great, but obviously my interest is surgery. So those are the guys I hung out with the most. But after that, went to Valdosta, Georgia, which is like South Georgia, 4 hours south of Atlanta, and I was there for 2 years. So I've been coming to Atlanta for about like four years at this point, but I've been living here about two. Yeah.
Gotcha. And when, where were you for the AGD, by the way?
I was in Biloxi. We call it
Where?
the Vegas of the South. Biloxi, Mississippi.
Miss, you were Mississippi.
Yeah.
Okay. Got
By the
it.
shore.
Got it. Florida to Mississippi to Georgia, but then you're in a different place than where you first came to Georgia. Is that right?
I'm in Atlanta now. Yeah.
What was that move around? Like why the change around in Georgia?
Well, I decided to get out of the military. The base that I was at was in Valdosta. Yeah, I was like, it wasn't for me. They wouldn't let me do the thing that I love most right now, which is dental, alveolar surgery and implants. So, it was, I just
Wouldn't
had
let you?
to, huh?
They wouldn't let you?
Well, I mean, I was doing a bunch of thirds, but they wouldn't let me place implants. So I was like, well, that's not really going to work out like long term. So, but
Interesting.
then I found a great job up here with a dentist founded DSO. And I'm doing full arch right now with like a full arch focus practice, which like was really allowed me to kind of just explode, put everything I've been learning and preparing for into practice. So it was a really good environment. Yeah. And it's where I'm still
Excellent.
at now. Yeah.
That's pretty exciting, man. That's great. Did you do a full arch today? How often? How many of those you do a week, a month?
Good month will do anywhere from like 12 to 15 arches. My patient population is different. So we don't. We do everything. So whatever the patient needs, most of the time it's patients that are in, they need full arch options. I have great referrals that I can give to if they need restorative. The offices that I'm at right now are just not set up for restorative, so I can't do them for that. But yeah, if they are indicated for, like full arch rehab, we offer dentures, over dentures, and fixed options as well. So it's not just like all in for all in for all in for. It'd be great if all you did was fix, but not everyone, at least for me, I gotta sleep at night.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
That would be nice. God, you
Yeah.
know, I don't know. 10 to 15 a month, you think? Or was that a week?
Not a good month, yeah, for me, yeah.
That's a lot of arches a month. I hope, I think, I'm not going to get that for a while. It might be, I hope I can ever get up to that point. That would be excellent. How do you, so you, it's mostly referral basis? How do you get those patients in?
It's mainly direct marketing, lots of marketing. And yeah, I do kind of have like, I'm on, just like you, I'm on social media and stuff. And I reach out to other people like that. And some clinicians find me on there from Atlanta area and, starting to get the name out, which is great. It feels good to, all we can do is put our best work for, foot forward and hope, eventually people will catch on to the good work that you do. And yeah, name spreads that way. So yeah.
That's great. That's great. I got to work on that direct marketing and I got to do better with that. Excellent. So this is, you're kind of hitting that sweet spot of where you wanted to be in dentistry, right?
Yeah, kind of in the middle. Yeah, I originally wanted to do oral surgery, just like yourself. But then, in AGD, I was like, well, I mean, that was a whole struggle. Like, I went to externships when I was in dental school and hung out with a lot of great programs. Like, I went to Knoxville with Dr. Carlson, obviously, yeah. UF. Great program as well. And then in the Air Force, I got to hang out with Dr. LaBella at the Lackland Air Force Base, the joint program with the Army. And it was all great. I mean, I was like about to pull the trigger. And I was just still like, hey, like, how, if I'm going to do implants, if I'm going to do, you know, ridge augmentation, soft tissue grafting, all this stuff, I'll do whatever it takes to do it at a really high level. And like, I feel like everyone says this about every age of dentistry, but I really do feel like we're in the golden age of dentistry, right? Because in AGD, I just started, what I learned from my attendings is reading. If my perio attending was like, hey, you know, you can, I will let you do, not let you, if you earn the right to do it, I'll let you do whatever soft tissue procedure you want. And so what we would have to do is say, if I had a soft tissue case I wanted to do, I just have to read up on it. He would give us the resources like, hey, this is the textbook you should read or this papers you should read. If we read it, present it to him and we can get through at least 80% of it. And he, he'll check us off and stuff. He'd be like, all right, you're ready. You know, it wasn't a hand holding thing at all. He's like, you can graduate here doing SRPs or you can graduate here doing all the stuff you want. And luckily our oral surgery attending was the same. He was like, hey man, like you're here to learn. I'm here to teach you as much as I can.
Yeah.
So you could take advantage of that or you can just, you know, do other stuff. Yeah, man. I really do think it's huge. A golden age because there's just so much to read. Like all the books that I've read that helped me get to this point right now, you know, like Urban's book, 2017, he has a volume 2 out now, right? 2023, I think. Corey's book, that doesn't count. That was like early 2000s, but you know, Zero Bone Loss Concepts, Ghost's book in 2019, like all these resources are literally out and like it's insane. You can learn so much just by, I mean, just spending time and reading.
That's right.
I'm sure you're no stranger to.
So much reading, right?
So much.
It's like every single day. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, you got to do it when, I mean, you got to read when you have the time to, but.
Right.
Man, dude, that's so great that you found those mentors in a different areas too. Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's just so lucky. What is this? Wait, I'm getting a notification. Picture in picture mode closed to maintain recording quality. PIP mode is causing a strain on your device. PIP mode is, I'm sure it's fine.
Picture in picture.
Huh. I don't have a picture in picture right now. Anyway,
that's strange. Yeah,
dude. So, and you were talking about this last week. So you're dating a Dominican girlfriend now. You
got Yeah.
Dude, that's awesome.
Great, man. We met on a mission trip last year.
Yeah, I want to go into the story. And what does she do? I want to hear the whole story.
Yeah, so she's a dentist, and she's trying to make her way, you know, here. Well, she is here now, but when I met, she was just trying to, you know, get all her ducks in the row and trying to apply to, you know, like for an advanced standing program or one of these programs that you can come and do a couple years of school and get a U.S. license. So yeah, it was kind of like met her on her journey there. And we were just friends at first and then kind of, you know, kept in touch after the trip. And yeah, just like really discovered that she is an amazing person. And yeah, we kind of went from there. I haven't looked back.
I think Dominicans, they make some of the best girlfriends out there. I really think they do. They genuinely care.
You're not biased or anything.
Oh, I'm very biased. I'm very biased, as you know.
That's right. Yeah, how did
and
you
guys I'm allowed meet? To be. Is that?
How did you guys meet?
Oh, we met on Hinge, actually, in New York, in the middle of COVID, which was kind of tough. But yeah, we just got engaged a week and a half ago now. It was two Thursdays ago. And what we did was we met on that day, June 12th. 5 years ago. And when we met, we did this little walk through Central Park because everything was shut down. Everything's closed. Like we picked up dinner somewhere. We went and opened up a little wine bottle in a little Central Park. And a week and a half ago on that day, we did the same walk through and then stopped on the same bench. And then I was like, you know, by the way, because we were all dressed up, ready to go to my graduation that night. But I was like, this is our day. I've been planning this for like 2 or 3 years. So I was like, yeah, you know, by the way, we did the same walk, the same one we first met. This is the same bench, same spot. And then I did the whole thing and
man,
so it's like, it's simple, but it was meaningful to the both of us, you know? And
no, that's great. I wonder, did she know, like, as you guys were walking, she's like, this is kind of familiar. Like,
no idea. She had no idea. And I played it pertly. She's afraid of bees. So we sat down on the bench and I said the whole thing. And I was like, is that a bee on your back? Get up. And then while she's looking for this bee, I dropped to the knee and yeah. Yeah.
Oh man, that's awesome. Well, congratulations.
Oh, thanks. It's a cute moment. But you know, so two guys dating Dominican girls. It's fun. You know, you got to find some common ground, and it sounds like you've been really happy. So that's, I just wanted to point that out.
Yeah, no, it's great. I mean, they're really, family oriented, which I love. I met like the mom side of family, and it's just like, oh my God,
you
like,
did
all the cousins, and like, it's just fun. Like more people is just like more fun.
More the merrier, right?
Yeah, the more the merrier. And they're all super close. And like, you know, yeah, it's really cool. It's really cool.
Did you do, you got to see the whole family. Was that a Sunday morning or a Sunday thing that they do?
They do the Sundays.
Yeah.
They gather. Like,
that's it.
Yeah. Do you ever get back to? I think so. It's especially like church Sundays. It's like Sundays is like a big day for getting together, but it's nice when you finally get to someone, you know, in some culture that really does it. It makes a big deal out of it. And
right.
I really like that. I love that. I'm a big family oriented person. I'm an only child though. So that's why I'm like, well, let's build a big family.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
How often you go back to you said Thailand. No, you said Thailand.
Taiwan.
Taiwan, I'm sorry. Yeah. How often you go back to Taiwan?
I go back, try to go back as much as I can now because my grandpa's getting kind of old. Still healthy, but you know, he's getting up there. He's like 98. So yeah, and it's crazy because, well, I mean, yeah, I've been going back. I actually went back just this past year, but I try to go back every couple of years. Dental school made it hard. Residency made it a little bit harder.
Yeah.
But yeah, actually, he needs like full arch, and I feel like, no, seriously, I'm trying to look for clinics in Taiwan that'll like, because I know there's some, but even trying to look for like a temp license there to kind of maybe do it through a course or something. But I mean, man, that would be great if I can just give my grandpa the last couple of years with chompers that chomp.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. He's been working with this like, he has one premolar on the lower and he's just been working with this partial denture on one premolar for like the last 2 decades. I'm like, I need to get this man something.
A lone soldier back in there, right?
Yeah.
At 98, he's probably got some other issues going on. That's a tough time to be doing a full arch case. I mean, he probably needs it more than anything else, but just that kind of age, you know.
I mean, from what I know, he's relatively healthy. Got maybe one or two blood pressure medications, but I don't know his full, you know, background, but from what my mom tells me, he's healthy. I'm like, all right, well, we'll see.
We'll see. Yeah. Yeah. You don't want to call it. That could be a lot of stress on the body doing that kind of surgery. I don't know if you would you ever do like one arch at one point and then maybe several months later, do the other arch or you do both?
Yeah. I mean, now at this point, probably, you know, I think he is just getting like, even energy wise, just like you said, like his meds aren't there, you know, 4 or 5 years ago before his fall, for sure. He was still walking, like he'd go on hikes for like 2 hours. You know what I mean? Like, he definitely could have handled even an arch at a time, bring him back, you know. And I do that all the time for patients too. I always tell them, hey, I know you want to get it all done, but listen, there's no rush. If you're not safe, we're going to stop halfway. Yeah. And we're just going to finish another day. Keep you safe.
Yeah. 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 Awesome. And you guys met on the mission trip, you and your girlfriend, that was in the DR. Is that right? Was that the FIGS trip?
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
I saw that was with Mogash.
Yeah, Mogash. Yeah, shout out to Hamza. Yeah, that was with. He's a great guy. But yeah, it was fun. It was a really, really good trip.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. I remember seeing your pictures with that. God, mission trips are always great. Just to touch on that really briefly, people that haven't done a mission trip, it looks nice. You know, you take a lot of photos and everything. But I really like the mission trips personally. I did one in Jamaica a year and a half ago. It really brings you back to the core of, you know, what you went to dentistry for, what you went into a profession, a career where you're treating people, helping people, treating patients all day long. So that's good. And then she was on that mission trip as a dentist in your group, or how did you meet her?
Yeah, so it's a group called Bright Island Outreach. It's Bright founded Island. By a couple guys. And the main guy, his name is Jonathan Diaz, and really great guy, dude. He's like just slightly older than us, and he's like, that was his passion, was like, hey, I love my country, I love my people, and like, this is kind of what I want to do, to touch a lot of lives, you know? So yeah, that's that group that sets up the clinic. You know, like, we've been at mission trips in dental school, and so you're roughing it a little bit, These are a little bit nicer. They do set it up nicely. Some of them are partnered with like retreat, almost like retreat style. You stay in like a nicer area, or at least nicer accommodations. And then the clinic has like full, you know, has the remote, I don't know what they call them, like the, you have hand pieces, you can do operative, everything.
Yeah, like that little box that pieces, the drills.
Blank in my mind right now. But yeah, it has everything. And they really do a good job. But yeah, I agree, man. Like it's weird because like you're working there for a week and you think like the last thing I need on vacation is more work. But that work is some of the most fulfilling and recharging work like we can do. Because it's, you really see like how, I mean, I did an immediate denture on a lady. You know, like extracted all her broken down teeth, and like it was like nothing for me, but like for her, she's like, nobody in town could do this safely. Like nobody had, you know, was wanting to touch it.
Yeah,
you don't think about that for you and I. It's just like, ah, it's just another Monday. You know, big deal. You know, but yeah, it's really crazy the impact that we can make. You know, just with our skills.
Yeah. Oh, it's, and then this might never happen for these people if we weren't there, like ever. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, financially speaking, too. Yeah. That's what keeps it out of the ballpark for them. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, man. But
yeah, we got to do one, man. You got to come out
to the DR or
yeah,
to
you gotta come out Georgia. To the Bright Island. Yeah. Bring your girl.
Oh, I would love to. We should do a great trip.
Yeah,
that would be fantastic. That's a great point. I would like to do that a lot. Have you been working on your Spanish?
Un poquito.
Poquito? Okay.
Un poquito solamente. It needs a lot of work. Yeah, I use Duolingo. It's just the easiest one. Like you can just get it in between patients or like if you're on, you know, just here and there. I'm more like I'm a textbook guy. Like I need to read the rules and like, you know, the conjugations is what gets me, you know? So like I need the rules, but then my issue is if I can't dive into it fully, then I end up not doing it. So like I bought this textbook, like complete Spanish, whatever. And I haven't touched it. It was funny because Ori, she was my girlfriend. She was, Ori was giving me, she was giving me a little bit of a trash for it because she was like, I remember this one guy that, you know, he was trying to learn Spanish for me and like he even bought a textbook, but I don't know anymore. I was like, shit, you're right. I need to get on that.
That's pretty, that's good. I like the Duolingo. I do that. I do one lesson a night. And then one of my friends got me on Babbel. That's an excellent app, but it takes a little bit longer. So it's hard to fit that in every day. I gotta pick that one up. And then obviously, do you have any Spanish speaking patients in your area in Georgia or?
Yeah, I get some. In fact, that are completely, you know, we have to use the translator services to talk to, but like in my broken Spanish, I can still kind of get the point across that I, you know, and that's honestly like having those kind of interactions and doing that in dental school too, like with my broken Spanish, like building rapport with in a language that you barely know. It was so like useful because like you have to keep it simple, right? Because there's no other choice. I don't know any other words. So it helps. Yeah, it really helps you learn how to talk to people, even in our native language, right? Like keep it simple, how to express yourself so that you can express that you're caring and synced in a succinct way and how to do that in all in like, what, 5-10 minutes for a consult, right? So yeah, even that I was thinking about when I was talking to what's like trying to communicate with some of my Spanish speaking patients. I was like, wow, this actually is like a good practice, you know?
It's great practice. I think it's the best. I think it's the best to have only Spanish speaking patients and then just try and then use the Google translation to learn how to say bag, like bolsa, you know, and then implement that and see if they understand it, get an assistant in that knows Spanish. Like, hey, can I, I don't know. It's fun. And I think the patients really appreciate it too, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, they do. They see you trying, right? Like, and they're like, "Well, okay." They're like actually trying to make me understand. And
it's huge. It's huge, dude. So I saw, and we don't have to go into this at all. But I want to know how you're doing. I saw it might have been a couple years ago now. Were you in like a hospital setting? Something happened, or
was I had a.
And we don't have to touch on it. I'm curious. I want to know how you're doing. You know?
Oh no, this is one of the things I honestly want to talk more on social media about too, is just kind of getting, long story short, I got one of the best cancers you can get these days. But yeah, it's just like to kind of Yeah, long story short, I didn't have any symptoms. I had thyroid cancer, like papillary thyroid carcinoma. It was stage two, starting to like have some regional spread. So like caught it at a really stage good time. Two. Like super good time.
What did you notice anything? Was it just getting swollen around your neck? Like what, nope. Anything that you, nothing?
Nothing. I mean, like I had just finished residency, so I was getting to my base. It was probably October. And I was like, when you get in process to your base, they do all the, you know, medical checkups and stuff. Military takes care of its people with everything. So they're like, and I had a PA, she was like feeling up my neck and she was like, yeah, like, she's like, this probably is just like an anatomical variation, but she's like, you might as well get an ultrasound. It's literally like, it's free. Like you should, yeah. Like why not?
Absolutely get it. Yeah.
And I was like, let's schedule it and I'll get on the books, whatever. I'll take some time off clinic to go get it done. And I went in and I never had symptoms. I never noticed anything. I mean, I started feeling my own thyroid. You know, we probably play thyroids all day, part of our head and neck exam. But it's like, nothing that I would even report, you know, normally if a patient had that. And I went in, they took the ultrasound and I was like, joking with the tech the whole time. I was like, am I good? And she's like, I was like, wait, what? And she's like, there's something there. Like you definitely want to go get like checked out. And I was like, oh shit. Okay. Let me see. And it turned out I had like a 3x4x5 centimeter mass. Like it was like deep. And so that's why I couldn't see it, I guess.
3x4x5 centimeters. So you had a mass on your neck, then you.
It was like deep in there. Yeah. It was just growing. Yeah. And really lucky, got caught there. Like went to the surgeon. I was in a small town. So I was like, damn, I might get to find someone that I was even thinking about going down to Gainesville because they have great ENT there. But this guy, he is a general surgeon trained in, he did a fellowship in endocrine. So all he did was like shuck thyroids pretty much.
Okay.
And really liked him. Like he was straight shooter, you know, he was like, yeah, this is what's going on. And luckily we caught it here. We can get it out for you. And Dr. Davis, really good guy. Yeah. Actually, I had to give him credit. I always try to give him credit, but the way he talked to me about my own like procedure, like kind of really influenced how I talk to my patients too when I'm doing like informed consent, especially when it comes to like, you know, during surgery, if we're going to have to, you know, pivot. And I'm faced with the challenge of, do I take a more conservative route or do I take a more aggressive route or relatively more aggressive route? Which would you prefer? And so like in my situation, he was like, well, as you know, there's lymph nodes and there's the mass is also around your internal laryngeal, recurrent laryngeal nerve. If we get in there and there's too much on there, I have two choices. One, I can try to get it all off. However, that would put more pressure on your nerves and could change your voice either temporarily or permanently. Or would you rather me get off as much as I can, however, leave an acceptable amount and try to get that with chemo, with radiation, stuff like that? Like, what would you rather do? And I was just like, I'm so glad you asked me that. It's not like, and I feel like sometimes as clinicians, we hold that question to ourselves, thinking like, oh, like we have to make this for the patient. But him asking me was, I was like, oh, damn, I would want my patients to have that choice too, as long as it's like clinically acceptable, right? It's like in the same path. It's just like, okay, slightly more conservative, slightly. And I'm really glad he asked me that because like I chose the more conservative route. I was like, I really don't mess up my voice. Like, I depend on it, you know?
Oh, you went conservative? Okay. Yeah. I mean, messing up your voice, that would be very, very, that would be a whole different lifestyle, having to potentially retrain your speech.
Yeah. Yeah.
If that was to happen, but so you went more conservative. So
yeah,
the nerves, you get the recurrent laryngeal nerve and stuff. Wow. Did you have to get chemo?
No, I only had to get radiation. I was cleared after radiation.
You got radiation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How many times did you have to go for that?
It was just, I just took a pill, honestly. It wasn't even like gamma knife or anything like that. I was kind of excited for that because like there's a lot of cool imaging and techniques now. Just the inner nerd in me couldn't help it. But no, I got, again, like this is like the best. This is like the best, one of the best cancers to get. It was caught early, highly treatable these days. Like, yeah, really, really lucky and blessed.
Did you have, you've had follow-up visits since then? And how's everything going?
Every year. I mean, that's the thing. Like I've been trying to tell all my friends after experience, like just get your blood checked every single year. Like you just never know. Right. I never had symptoms. I never got my blood checked every year. Like when I was just, like before the military, cause I just never like, I was like, oh, I'm healthy. I work out. I'm good. But yeah, get blood checked every year. It could happen to anyone.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and so young too. What age were you when that, this is 2 years ago, 3 years ago?
This is in 2020. Yeah. 3 years ago. Yeah. So I was like 28.
So young. Wow. Yeah. Did you, just curious on the side, did you get the COVID vaccine? Was it Pfizer? Was it Moderna?
Yeah, I got, well, we had to for the military, but I think I got the Pfizer initially, and then I had to get a booster because I was trying to go on another mission trip, actually to Kenya. So I got two boosters, Moderna.
Yeah. So you said the Pfizer first.
Mm-hmm. Pfizer first.
Okay. Yeah. And I did too. NYU wouldn't let me start residency until I had those shots. So yeah, the Pfizer was like the two part, and then you got the booster and then another booster in order for you to transfer areas, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm. Huh.
And that was all before you were 28, no?
I had, yeah, two of them were before I got diagnosed.
Huh. Huh. I think it's linked. I'm hearing a lot of people get, especially GI cancers, really starting to get more. Is it better testing? Is it diet? Because it's GI. It could be all the garbage that we're eating these days and the plastic. Mm. I don't know. I don't want to pry or anything. I just want to ask these questions to I don't know.
Yeah, it's something I want to look into too. Cause I mean, it's like the two hit like hypothesis, right? Like you could have been multiple things. I was also on a military installation, which is like, you know, is linked to very, very high levels of PFOAs and PFAS. Yeah. And then my ethnicity, right? Asians have a higher predilection for thyroid stuff. Like my mom had a nodule, 1 centimeter nodule. It's been the same size. And I didn't know until I got it. I called her and she's like, oh yeah, I have one of those, but like they're watching it. So there's a little bit of genetics in there too. So who knows, you know, like maybe it got a little contributory from whatever the inflammation and stuff that the vaccines caused, maybe from that, maybe from the PFOAs, maybe from my ethnicity, you know, like all these things, you know, it's hard.
So many factors. Yeah.
It's hard to say. And we work in a profession where we're exposed to x-rays all the time. You know, I know we try to run out the room, but it's like, we're catching some rays, you know?
Inevitably. Here and there, I'm sure. Rays,
you know? So, yeah, all these things. Yeah. Lots but just going grateful on. That I'm it was, so, it was,
right. I was going to say, I'm so grateful, so thankful that, you know, everything was taken care of and you're young enough to be able to recover from that. And you did the radiation. It's just by pills and by getting zapped, literally.
Yeah.
So, yeah, thankfully, everything went out okay. And how many years of follow-up, is it every year, is it every 6 months, is it for 5 years, 10 years, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just gonna do it every year, you know, just get blood work done and imaging done. I mean, it does have a higher like recurrence rate, this kind of cancer, but luckily it can be caught as long as you're doing these things right. It's not one of those like it's hard to even detect, you know? So yeah.
Wow.
As long as I keep going, there's a good chance I'll catch it again if it comes.
Right. Obviously, keep going. And then, did they notice anything? You said they make sure you get your blood work. Did you notice anything on blood work, or that wasn't?
No, that was another. Yeah, after they saw the ultrasound, that's when they, and then blood work came back. They're like, okay, yeah, your TSH or T3, they kind of look, they're off for sure.
Yeah, were they really high or?
You know, I can't remember. I know I was low in, I can't remember the exact values.
Sure. Yeah, you know, that's just.
They're just way out of range. I was like, this is not good.
Heal?
Yeah, 100%. Oh, that's great. No, man, it's very blessed. You know, again, could have been a plethora of other cancers that are quote unquote worse, right? It's not like, that's another thing. I think that's the biggest thing that I learned from that is like, I started to be like, I can't feel that bad. Like it could have been, you know, insert way worse cancer, you know? Like, it's not like the pain Olympics, you know, like I was like, I can still feel like this sucks because obviously it was scary. I'm young. I'm doing everything I can. I eat well. I work out 4 or 5 times a week, but like this still happens to me. So I was like feeling, you know, a little bit bad about myself, but then I was like, you know what? Like this is, it is what it is. I just have to focus on, you know, being grateful that, it's caught early and it was a very treatable disease. And
thankfully,
just focus on what I can do from it, like the good that can come from it. Like, hey, all my friends that I talk to, I'm like, get your blood work done. I don't care how young you are. Like, just get it done every year. Yeah. And if it, I mean, I know most of my friends do now. So, or at least I hope they are.
I'm going to have to, I'm going to have to schedule a doctor's appointment. I don't know the last time.
Yeah, don't skip it.
Oh, no, it was like a year or two ago. I think I got it done. But Yeah, yeah. No, it's in that at Bellevue Hospital. They were like people walking around with active TB. I'm definitely gonna have to get blood work done again this year. I'm glad you remind me. I'm glad you remind me. Yeah. But hey, a question I get all the time on somewhere, and you'd be better at answering it than I am. Would you go through the military route again, just in general? And then would you go through it again for a dentistry career, a career through dentistry specifically? I'm trying to phrase this from two different aspects. I have a lot of military in my son. Nah, maybe not a lot. I have some military in my family. Just a couple people. I'm not, but I don't know enough about it. You know, would mm-hmm. you do it again? Would you go through it again? Did they pay for your tuition and stuff, or how did that
yeah,
work?
Yeah. So, I mean, 100% I would do it again. It was a really good experience. Obviously everyone's, you know, your mileage may vary and it kind of depends on what your values are. But my grandpa was a military guy. I liked being able to feel like you're part of the mission. You know, serving our servicemen and women. I always tell people, like, people are like, oh, you know, Air Force. Like, I was like, I didn't do anything cool. Like, I was just a freaking dentist. Like, I didn't get to fly planes or anything cool. Like, but I got to help a lot of those people that were there, you know, that got to do those things, which, yeah, like, I like that kind of thing. But yeah, they took care of me. Like, healthcare, all that is free. You get 30 days of paid leave a year, which is huge. And yeah, they paid for 2 years. I signed up for a 2-year program. So 1 year AGD, 2 year service. So they paid for 2 years of my dental school, which is great. And yeah, I think that the main, well, I don't want to call them cons objectively, because someone's con might be another person's pro, right? Like if you like traveling a lot, like I have most of my co-residents stayed in, because especially one of them, she really likes traveling and now she's in Japan, you know what I mean? And she's going to try to bounce around to like Italy or some other place, you know, like it's a really cool like thing to do. Like you can't do, it's harder to do that as a dentist, right? You'd have to apply for an international license and all this stuff. But but for me, that was a con, because I was like, I want to stay in one place and like focus on my career and like do the dentistry I want to do, which is what I'm doing now. But I couldn't do that in the military. So that was another con. Right. Yeah. But so many pros, like the training was great. It really depends on the attendings you got. But I had luckily had really good attendings that allowed, you know, my learning style matched with their teaching style, you know, and everything kind of just worked out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, that's awesome. Okay, so you would definitely go through it again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wouldn't stay. So for me, I say this, and I always say this, I'll definitely do it again. But if I stayed in, and I don't regret any time in, but if I stayed a day longer, I would have started to regret it. Because at that point, you know, the frustrating thing with the military is that you get paid the same no matter what. You're paid, and the reward system is based on time in. That's the main reward system. You get promoted, you take positions and you stay in long. That's how you get promoted. Yeah. So it doesn't matter how good your work is. It doesn't matter how much you grind. You get paid the same, and it's based on your rank. So like I was top producer in my clinic because I was doing all the sedations I could, all the thirds, all this, you know, endo that I could, but I got paid. I was like one of the lowest paid dentists there. And it, you know, it doesn't feel great long-term. Like you don't feel like you're valued, right? Like I'm not going to grind right. like that for 5 years and not get, you know, rewarded for that, you know, it just doesn't make sense long term.
That's a great point. Yeah.
So that's the unfortunate side. And like, that's part of the feedback I let the military is like, listen, if you want A players to stay, you have to reward A players based on what A players find reward from. A players are not people that are like, let me stay in as long as I can and I'll get rewarded on that. Hell no. A players are like, what can I do to maximize my impact? And like also get rewarded for that, you know, the fastest that I can. Right. They're going to find ways. That's not the incentive system in the military. So unfortunately, you know, it's harder to keep. There's absolutely A players that stay. Like all my attendings, they can make a killing in private practice because their skills are very good. They're very good people, but they just like the lifestyle. But I would say they're more of an exception, you know?
Yeah. That actually leads into a broader topic of like, doctors, dentists, surgeons, people in healthcare provider jobs and careers, A players. Don't you want to incentivize the most talented, the smartest, the most focused, the most intelligent people to go into these career paths that are like to be hyper focused on helping other people, right? Don't we want that? But then with the current insurance system and models that are out there, and you know, residency is just based off time too, technically. Some people don't have any hand skills, so maybe they're not ready to graduate. Some people had hand skills better than some of the people graduated before they even started. Maybe they can be expedited a little bit after they have the experience that they need. It's all these systems are based off time. And now I think that's a really beginner way to look at it, but we have to rank it and we have to progress people based off of their skills, their experience, their talents. So if some people are more talented, then they should progress faster, like a video game. You know what I mean? If you had to wait a month to finally pass level one, you're not going to play that video game very long. And I don't know. I mean, this is a big can of worms we're opening, but I think number one is exactly what you said. If we need to recruit A players for A level work, and I think surgery, dentistry, being a doctor, a physician, this is A level work. You're helping other people. This was put at the top of the top of education for a reason. We need to stop taxing the people at the top of the top, especially in healthcare careers, the most. Is a tax a penalty or an advantage, a benefit? Yeah. It's a penalty, right? So I don't know. There's so many directions we could go. There's so many ways we could look at it. But no, if we're going to try and recruit A-level players, we need to have A-level benefits and advantages for them, right? And encourage people to do more work. Here's another topic that I'm just talking your ear off now. I'm sorry about that, Sean. But some of these dental schools, they're increasing the amount of clinic chairs they have. They're increasing the amount of students they have per class, but they're not increasing the number of clinic chairs they have. So they're increasing their class sizes to get more of this, but they're not increasing how many patients they're helping. And it's a scary road. So you were saying before, we're in the golden age of dentistry. In dental education, we might be tipping into, because 5 to 7 dental schools, it was 7 dental schools open in the last 5 years, but we're in a contraction, a consolidation period now for jobs. So we could potentially be entering a scary era too, even if dentistry is, you know, where it could be going. But I don't know, you could pick one of those topics to go with it. I mean, we're at about 40, 45 minutes now. I don't want to keep you too long, but I mean, we're having a really good combo.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think, you know, with the insurance, it really is kind of insurance and private equity, right? Like they're just like two best buds that kind of just ruining things for people, right? I think, you know, I don't think that's like by their nature, but I think that's what happens a lot, like just by virtue of what they try to do, right? Private equity, your job, literally, as I understand it, right, is to make a multiple of money for your investors, get, you know, ultra high worth net worth individuals and different funds. Your job is to turn over that money and turn a profit in a 3 to 7 year, you know, like a medium term time frame. So when you take over an organization like a hospital or a group of dental practices, if I'm put in that position, even if I'm a dentist and I have that job of how do I make the most, you know, how do I achieve this goal? Yeah. The decisions that I make are not going to be for the long-term growth of the company most of the time. Most of the decisions are going to be made to increase that profit in that 3 to 7 year window and over, right? Because at the end of that window, you either sell to another one, you know, to try to keep that going. So I think by, you know, that's what ends up happening, right?
It's
for profit, which is unfortunate because the people that suffer are, one, the docs, with the patients, most importantly, but then also the people that are providing the care, right? I'm super frustrated, you know, even just in my little niche, our little niche of dentistry, right? That implants aren't really covered by most dental insurances. And most dental insurances still have a $2,000 maximum every year. That maximum hasn't increased since
16 years.
Yeah. Like
70s.
And I don't know the math for the inflation, but that, I mean, the equivalent these days has got to be over 10 grand.
It would be, yeah. I actually looked it up. This is 6 months ago. At that time, it was almost $8,000. It would be an $8,000. It was $7,664. That's what it was.
It would be more reasonable, I would say, for dental care these days. And it's frustrating, like what I do every day, right? Like if I'm looking at someone that needs a denture or needs full arch options, what insurance is saying, most insurance saying is, hey, you know, dental implants, they're elective. Yes, I get it. It's an elective procedure, but they're cosmetic. You don't really need those. Your denture is actually sufficient. What they're saying is, you know, the way I explain to my patients is like, listen, if you get your arm or leg amputated these days, you have really nice prosthetics that you can replace it with. Make it out of aluminum, titanium, all these nice metals. The equivalent of that would be the insurance only covering a wooden peg for a leg.
Yeah.
Like, why are we doing that to people? Like, we know the function you can get out of a maxillary mandibular complete denture is like 20 to 25% chewing power. Like, what the hell is that?
True.
with implants, like with an overdenture, you can increase that to, let's just say, 40 or 50%. And with a fixed prosthesis, you can increase that to damn near 95%. So if you're telling me that implants are for cosmetics, then I'm just telling you that you're full of shit. You just don't want to pay out for them. The biggest benefit I see, there are some beautiful dentures that you see online. Like translucency, all this stuff. So it's not the cosmetic that gets the boost. It's the chewing power. It's the function of the prosthesis that really gets the boost. So you can't tell me that it's a cosmetic procedure.
True.
Yeah, it frustrates me every day. It's terrible.
One concern is that ideally, and that I do agree, that's how it should be. And hopefully we get that way in the future. But that's after we get the $8,000 copay.
Yeah.
Right? Right? Because here's the thing. If they start covering implants, they're going to be like, yeah, we're covering it now, but we're only going to pay you $600 per implant.
Right.
And you're like,
right?
Because we get our implants for what, like between $200 and $400, whatever it is. It varies by part of the country.
Money on that.
You see what I'm saying? Because that is exactly what insurance would do. And now they're covering everything we could provide, but now we're literally making nickels on the dollar for care that, what are loans cost these days? More than 50% of dental students in 2022 graduated with more than $250,000 in loans. You will not be paying that back if they cover everything in dentistry. Ideally, everything should be covered, right? Whether cosmetic, you have that, but then everything functional. But we got to get an appropriate reimbursement. But we got to go back to the 70s, trace that line, and create a new insurance company starting here. And all the other insurance companies would be wiped out. They're going to be lobbying with all the politicians that this is the worst insurance company, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. But this is how we need to get back on track in a good, in a country that's going to have the best healthcare in the world. That's where we need to go back to the 70s and trace that line and start there.
Yeah. And I'm so glad we somehow got on this topic because it gets me fired up too. One of the things that I think that we're missing, and again, this is not the solution. This is a multifaceted problem that needs multiple solutions. But the one thing that dentistry, in my opinion, is missing is something called what's blanking my mind right now. So there's a thing in medicine called the medical loss ratio.
Hmm.
Have you heard of this?
No. Medical loss. What's this?
So medical loss ratio is pretty much, it's a requirement. It's pretty much the government saying, hey, there's a certain proportion of the revenue that an insurance company makes, okay, from your collecting premiums. And they need to spend a certain percentage of that to actually improve healthcare. So AKA pay it back to the patients. It has to be related to that and not admin, not marketing, not profits, not any of this. So in medicine, the medical loss ratio, I think across the board is about 80%. So that's saying, okay, let's say company, United Healthcare makes $100 billion. Okay. They need to be using $80 billion of those dollars to healthcare related things, to paying for patient treatment.
And they cannot take more, looks like.
They cannot take more than 20% of that for marketing or, let's be honest, profit. In dentistry, this does not exist. So what we have is Delta Dental. I don't know. Again, sorry, you can cut out the names, whatever. So you have company A, company B, company C, dental insurance companies that do not have a limit. Some, and it's easily Googleable. You can just find how much these companies are taking for admin costs. The dental loss ratio most of these companies end up being 50%, 60%. Like, it's crazy.
So, I'm looking it up on ChatGPT right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me know. I mean, I checked like 2 years ago. It got me enraged because I was like, obviously this is not the only problem, but if we don't even have a minimum amount that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Massachusetts is huge. They're the first state to pass, a requirement, a dental loss ratio. I think it was like around 81%, 82%. So insurance companies in Massachusetts have this requirement now, which I think is a huge step forward. There's still a lot to be done, but I think it's a huge step forward. And I think some other states now are following suit. If you go on the ADA website, they have like a tracker. They're tracking like the progress on this. And like, I check it every couple months. But man, I really hope that catches on like wildfire, especially after, United Healthcare, Luigi, that kind of stuff. I really do think it brings it to light. And like, Because, dude, like, where dentistry is heading down the same kind of path. I don't like to be doom and gloom. I love dentistry in the age it's at now. But why are we going to? We know what happens when we let private equity and insurances right. take over. We know what happens. Look at medicine. We're having, like, a very high doctor burnout rate. We're having a shortage of doctors and other healthcare providers because of this. Like, right. it's going to be bad. It's going to be really yeah. bad.
Why are we doing it? Why are we going down that path? We need yeah. more solutions to that. This medical loss ratio is excellent. And yeah, it does say on the medical side, 80 to 90%, all of them.
Right.
On the dental side, I don't even believe these are correct numbers, but it's saying 60 to 80%. And it's a wide range. I don't agree. I don't think that's true. I mean, they were saying what was the revenue of Delta Dental last year was $9.9 billion, which is more than Spotify, more than I think. What do they say? Apple, more than Netflix, even insane. Maybe not Netflix, but
insane.
How is that possible? And it is by far and away the bottom three dental insurances.
Yeah,
insurers. So what? Well, we know what's going on here, and the ADA doesn't want to fix it. I don't know. We gotta do something about it. Oh man! And now this is making me think of how they're bringing up all these articles of dental therapists. I'm reading a bunch of articles in the last year and a half on dental therapists. This is another Band-Aid fix because they identify this problem and it's like, okay, we got to get people over there to help these underrepresented people. Absolutely we do. But you don't just give these people a degree that allows them to do a little bit of dentist work and then send them out. They're not going to go to those areas. And we know that because it's the same concept here. What did the CRNAs do on the anesthesia side of the medical side of healthcare? They created this so you could be in the middle of squirrel's crotch, like Iowa or something, and get this stuff taken care of. But no, all the CRNAs are going to Manhattan. They're going to LA. They're going to Boston. They want to work in Miami. And I would too. I don't blame them. But they're not, now they're not going in the middle of squirrel's crotch, Iowa. They're not going in the middle of South Dakota. So it's a great Band-Aid solution, but it doesn't actually work. We need to incentivize financially and maybe decrease taxes, maybe. That's how we actually start to get on the path. But yeah, man, we're approaching the end of our convo here. We're hitting some fire now. We're really starting to get into. I didn't realize the medical loss ratio. I'm glad you brought that on my radar. That's huge.
Yeah, yeah. When I found out about it too, I was like blown away. I was like, this explains a lot. And there's probably a lot more that I don't understand either about the nuances. But like that was a huge difference I saw between the med side and the dental side, like just right off the rip. You know, so yeah, I think the more awareness we can bring to it, the better. I try to yap about it to my dental friends as much as I can so that they can talk about it with their dental friends and then hopefully gets brought up to the Hill and hopefully some change can happen.
Yeah, man, absolutely. We're going to have a part two and get into this further because I honestly think auditing, none of these insurance companies are going to allow any auditing. They're not going to allow full transparency. So therefore, reforming them is impossible. I think we're going to need to come together as a profession and create a new insurance company. And we could use AI to do it, cut out 90% or more of admin costs, and then try to trace back that inflation line a bit and get patients the money that they need to get dental treatment, and then get these providers some reimbursement so they can keep their lights on.
Right.
And you know what? That'll actually incentivize preventative care again, you know, right. compared to Medicaid B or whatever it is that's paying $18 for two surface filling in New York. Yeah, dude, it's...
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, we're hitting into some good topics here.
Yeah, yeah, we'll have to do a part two.
Yeah, man. Yeah, dude. Hey, thanks for taking time today. Coming on, we've been working on this for a couple of weeks now.
Yeah, no. Yeah, thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, so part two. I'm gonna get this up by the end of the week, and yeah, we'll keep in touch, man.
Yeah,
good stuff.
100%. Yeah, yeah. Can't wait to see what you do, man. Now that you're you got the license to drill.
It'll come like August, September. I'll finally get that light. I got to get this stuff in, you know, get New York State on. I got to give them calls. And right. I got to get all my information. But yeah, and it's going good.
Putting faces together, man. That'll be sick.
All right, brother. We'll talk soon. Thanks so much.
Yeah. All right, man. Take care.
And have a good night.